The Homeland Security Department is finalizing some best practices for notifying victims of major cyber breaches. This comes after more than a year after the Office of Personnel Management struggled to notify millions of people impacted by two cyber attacks in 2015. Federal News Radio's Nicole Ogrisco joins me now to talk about what DHS is suggesting and how agencies can develop notification plans. Hello, Nicole.
Hi, Jared.
So why exactly is DHS taking a look at cyber notification in particular?
So specifically, it's the DHS Data Privacy and Integrity Advisory Committee that's taking a look at this. And it was then Chief Privacy Officer for DHS Karen Newman who asked the committee, actually back in September 2015, to come up with some written best practices for notifying data breach victims. And I think the OPM incidents really played a key role in DHS taking this issue on. And as we'll kind of go through each of the best practices here, I think people will be able to see some similarities between what they're suggesting and maybe where OPM went wrong in some of their notification process.
And what they learned from OPM, yeah. So let's go through them. You say there's four different sections. Let's tackle them one by one.
So the first one, the decision-making process, and this is all about whether or not you should actually notify victims that a cyber breach happened, and if so, how you actually plan to do that. And so first, DHS suggests that an organization should conduct a risk analysis and think about the nature of the data that was compromised and how sensitive it is. If it's social security information or medical information, for example, that could be a reason to notify your victims. Maybe, you know, just names and addresses. It might be a different situation. And really, the agency should think about, you know, whether the details of the breach have already been made public. If the details and the scope of the attack are known, that's all going to impact what an agency decides to do and how detailed they should get in notifying people.
And if it's not publicly known, I guess the rationale there would be you've got a little bit more flexibility to make sure you've got your ducks in a row before you start sending out notifications.
Right. And you have more time to come up with a game plan, more time to probably talk to your lawyers about exactly what you should do. And they suggest that, and they say that in their best practices, that whatever decision you make, it should be done quickly. You're going to have to talk to your lawyers. You're going to have to think about different interests and parties that are going to be involved in this. And they really stress the idea of finding a balance between speed and accuracy. So, you know, a week or so after you discover that a breach has happened, you might not have all of the details. And so you have to conduct that risk analysis to decide how you're going to word your notification and what exact details you're going to disclose in that notification letter.
Right. And the second section really gets to, you know, how the notification materials physically, the physical format, how those notifications should look themselves. And as you write, agencies need to be thinking about that ahead of time.
Yeah, and they really stress that notifications should get sent through first class mail. That is the most likely form of reaching your intended recipients there. And I think we saw that when you think about the two different ways that OPM notified their victims of those two separate cyber breaches. I believe, you know, victims of the first breach got an email from an unfamiliar source, and then victims who were involved in the second breach received physical letters in the mail with OPM letterhead. And that is the method that this DHS committee suggests, that it should be from a familiar source. It should be signed by somebody who's high up in the organization and somebody that the recipient would actually know and would recognize. And then as far as the language of the notification goes, it should be, you know, written as clearly as possible. Try to avoid jargon and acronyms and all of the things that, you know, that we're familiar with. And again, it should be sent through the mail. And if you need to send an email, it should be, you know, in an official email with a .gov email address or something like that.
Yes, another lesson learned from OPM. As far as frequency of notification, you write that it's possible to notify victims too often. What is the committee getting at there?
So the Federal Trade Commission looked at this issue and found that states, individual states who might have to send some of these cyber breach notifications, and, you know, they've developed their own specific laws around this. They've noticed that recipients tend to ignore multiple notices. So if you get too many notices, people will just start to ignore them. And sometimes those notices might have important updates or important information that maybe they didn't have the first or second time that they've sent out these notices. And they found that that can be detrimental to really getting the information that they need across. And so they basically said that, you know, to reduce the likelihood that people will become desensitized to these notices, you should really make sure that you're sending as few as possible, and the notices that you do send are really, really clear about what victims specifically need to do if they need to protect their information or if there's some other kind of action that they might need to take.
Yeah, and I think that one's particularly important because if you're a human being living in modern America right now, you're probably getting breach notifications about multiple different kinds of breaches that you've been a victim of. So it's important not to double up for any one individual breach. And then the last category, Nicole, gets to additional support for victims, meaning you really shouldn't just be sending a breach notification and then considering yourself done with the whole process.
Right. They suggest that before you do any of this, before you send out letters, or, you know, very soon before you send out letters, you should have some sort of call center set in place with staff that are trained specifically to answer questions about what happened, what information was compromised, and then what you need to do to either sign up for maybe credit monitoring services or identity and theft protection services. And again, those people should be able to field as many questions as possible. They also suggest that organizations or agencies should set up a website and post answers to frequently asked questions as they come up. And again, really spell it out really clearly what specific information they're going to need to know as they, you know, begin to sign up for these services and that sort of thing. And they, you know, another interesting point I thought was that the staff that you have on hand to answer these questions might want to have knowledge of multiple different languages. Again, you know, this could be a pretty big, as I think we saw with OPM, this could be a pretty big incident and, you know, not a lot of time to set up your response.
All right. Federal News Radio's Nicole LaGrisco. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jared.